Yeah. So Will is planning to get back in shape by joining a new fitness program. Will said that those midnight muffins will be a thing of the past. So Will is now 52, and he's vowed on his Instagram post that he said, I'm getting in shape, the best shape of my life. So Will Smith is teaming up with the YouTube channel or some YouTube team and plans to do a documentary on how he's going to get fit or his process of getting fit. So that sounds interesting. And I like the little post that he did on IG where it shows, I'm going to put the link in
In the
in the
show
show
notes.
notes about this diva pose
Yeah. He's inspired a lot
that
of men. I've seen a lot of dad bods being posted on my timeline. So it looks like he's not going to be the only one shedding those pounds.
Yeah, well, I definitely want to join him. I don't know what program he's using, but it's definitely given me some insight to doing a better job eating right. Welcome to episode 12 of Breaking It Down with DJ and Courtney.
12, can you believe
Yes,
it?
12, like the 12 disciples or something,
Yeah, right, or something.
I'm
12
sure
angry men.
12 angry men, Well, we like to start each episode with a segment called What's Still Cooking. It gives Courtney and me a chance to highlight things that we may have read, watched, or experienced that may be still lingering on our minds. So, what's still cooking for me? Well, I wanted to say happy belated Mother's Day, to all the mothers out there, especially my mother, especially thank you. I say belated because we're recording this show a little bit earlier than I know Mother's Day is Sunday, but this will be uploaded on
For
Monday.
Monday, yeah.
Yeah.
Happy Mother's Day,
Happy
Mom.
Mother's Day, Mommy. Also, what's still cooking for me is Will Smith is ready to lose those pandemic pounds.
The
The COVID 12,
COVID-12.
I think for me it's like the COVID 20,
Oh, really?
So Will is planning to get back in shape by joining a new fitness program. Will said that those midnight muffins will be a thing of the past. So Will is now 52. And he's vowed on his Instagram post that he said, I'm getting in shape, the best shape of my life. So Will Smith is teaming up with the YouTube channel or some YouTube team and plans to do a documentary on how he's going to get fit or his process of getting fit. So that sounds interesting. And I like the little post that he did on IG where it shows, I want to put the link in
In the
the
show
show
notes.
notes about this diva pose.
He's inspired a lot of men. I've seen a lot of dad bods being posted on my timeline. So it looks like he's not going to be the only one shedding those pounds.
Yeah, well, I definitely want to join him. I don't know what program he's using, but it's definitely given me some insight to doing a better job eating right. But Childish Gambino is, and I love that song by him called This Is America.
That was a
But
banger.
oh yeah,
And
especially the
the video
video
was epic.
off the chain. But he's being sued by a rapper called Kid, named Kid West. He claims that the song is copied from a track that he made in 2016 called "Made in America,"
Interesting.
which was released in 2016, and he filed court documents in New York that says that the lyrical theme and the content structure of the two songs are glaringly similar. Now, I listened to both of the songs, and I don't hear the similarity. We can't play them here, but I'll leave again a link in the show notes of the two songs so you can do your own comparison. But I think the brother's doing some clout chasing, seriously.
Oh, well, I'll have to listen with everyone else because I didn't get a chance to listen to both versions. So you'll see if you want to know what I think, look at for us on social media and I'll comment what I think. So what's cooking for me is something I'm actually not excited about. the Brood X cicadas are stated to make their return this year. So if you weren't in this area, and this area meaning the East Coast, 17 years ago, you may not remember that the Brood X cicadas are these cicadas that come out once every 17 years, and they have a mating season, and they're loud, and then they go away. But this is the year that they come back, and they're slated to hit 15 states, including the District of Columbia. So Delaware, Georgia, Illinois, Indiana, Kentucky, Maryland, Michigan, Ohio, New Jersey, New York, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, and West Virginia. And I am not excited, but
no, I'm not either.
They're coming.
I know one clammed on my neck because they are the sloppiest flyers. Like they fly, but they like not flying.
Yeah.
And they got on my neck, and I was like,
I can only imagine.
I mean, people looked like I was crazy. They knew what had happened, but it was just.
I just remember them. The it's like a chorus of screeches all day, and then at night, you know, it may be one or two, but there. I remember my windshield just looking disgusting.
Oh God!
I remember I was in school at the time, so you know, walking across University of Maryland's campus, they would be all over the sidewalks, and it just wasn't exciting.
Mm-mm. And then when they went into your windshield, they pop.
Yeah. Oh. Gross. God, gross. Yeah. So, but they'll be here sometime this month, apparently, and maybe into late June. So look out.
Looking forward to that.
All right. Well, should we get into the show?
Yeah. Let's do it.
Okay, great.
So for our first main topic, it was reported this week that Bill Gates, the billionaire Microsoft tycoon, will be divorcing his long-time wife, Melinda Gates, after 27 years of marriage. Mm-hmm. They released a statement saying, "We no longer believe we can grow together as a couple." So what do you think went wrong?
Well, these hoes ain't loyal. No.
I love it.
No, when I first heard it, I was shocked. I immediately thought of Jeff Bezos and his wife or ex-wife. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I mean, I also heard rumors that, you know, Bill was living the polyamorous life.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, apparently, like, he... There was some clause in their marriage agreement that he would be able to like vacation with his ex-girlfriend every year.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think her name was Anne somebody. I can't remember the last name, but.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But.
And Winblad.
Okay. Winblad. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, I don't know what happened because I mean, if that had been the clause in the beginning of their marriage, what's going on now? Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know. I Melinda, I believe, is younger than Bill, right?
Yeah, she is. Yeah, she's it looks like I thought I had their ages here, but I'm not seeing it.
I think
it.
There's like a 10-year age difference between them or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, they have a love story because they sort of met at when she started working for his company, because he wasn't really involved in Microsoft. He was doing other things. Oh, and then when it started to take off, because she was running the company, then that's when he started. So, you know, and then he asked her out. She didn't really, I guess, take it seriously.
Right.
And then he called her. And then finally she was like, okay, well, fine. I'll go out with you.
Right.
So it was that's very cute to me. I like that. I like that story. You
yeah.
Know?
I remember hearing them. I want to say recently talk about that story, like within the last 2 years, I heard them on some podcast or something talking about how they met and started. So, I mean, I was shocked to hear it. And I also was like, file under don't get married.
Yeah. This is another reason when we'll get right. into that in just a second about. But let's talk about the money, because that's the first thing everybody's asking about the money. Because Bill Gates is worth nearly $125 billion.
Damn, yeah, a lot of money.
That's a lot of money. And reports are saying this could be the most expensive divorce of all time.
That's why they say it's cheaper to keep her, right?
It's cheaper to keep her, you know? But Bill is currently one of the top five of the world's richest people. Let me name some of the people that are that you have, that bank, that shmoney. Jeff Bezos. Mm-hmm. Jeff Bezos has $177 billion. He's the owner of Amazon.
That's ridiculous. That's like not even money anymore.
Yeah, it's like, you know, you could have a go out and buy a couple of countries, you know?
Planets.
A planet, you know, a moon. Elon Musk is $151 billion, you know, estimated is worth. I don't know who Bernard Arnault is, but he has $150 billion. Wow. And Mark Zuckerberg, you know, the owner of Facebook,
right,
has almost $100 billion.
Wow.
So people have been asking, like, they have this 66,000 square feet home. Could you imagine a 66,000 square feet home?
That's like my home times 1,000.
Right. That's a company, a complex or something. Yeah. You know. So this home is worth $131 million. They named it Xanadu 2.0.
Wow.
And it's in Medina, Washington. So they're asking, people are asking, like, we're going to do it. How are you going to buy the home? You're going to sell the home? Or what are you guys going to do about the home? So people are asking about that. And also with all the money that Bill has, if they do a 50-50 even split, which I doubt will happen, but if that was the case, then she would inherit, you know, about $65 billion, making her automatically one of the richest women in the world.
That's crazy.
So when you say it's cheaper to keep her, it's much better to ditch him.
For her, yeah.
For him, right. For him, for her to dip, to ditch him.
Ditch him, yeah, for yeah, her, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So so it's sad, you know, that there are, because they do have one of the largest nonprofit companies in the world and do a lot of good with that company. People are very interested to find out how they're going to maneuver that. And they're saying that they're going to continue with that company, with that nonprofit. But I don't think, would that be weird working with your ex like that?
Well,
that
I mean, if Bill was still friends with his ex-girlfriend while he was married, he seems like the type that's able to maintain amicable relationships. And they are saying that this is an amicable split. Mm-hmm. So perhaps they're going to be able to figure it out. I don't know. But yeah. I mean, this, along with Jeff Bezos' divorce, it's bringing up the conversation how baby boomers are getting divorced. Mm-hmm. And like, what does that really mean about marriage? You know, like there was so much talk about the sanctity of marriage when gay rights were trying to get equal access to marriage. And now baby boomers are leaving marriages left and right.
Yeah, so like, they are. Well, I think that the definition of marriage has really changed, because it's like the question that I ask is the concept of marriage still applicable, or is it an outdated concept? What I'm trying to say. I just think that the baby boomers, when they were getting married, it was about falling in love and you're supposed to be together forever. But I think in this time, the baby boomers were seeing that I don't have to be with this idiot for the rest of my life.
You know, I don't actually know how much love. I think the baby boomers started to experience the concept of love and marriage. That felt like, you know, love and marriage.
Yeah,
love,
yeah.
But marriage, like the original concept, was not about love. It was just about business and land ownership and providing for women, because they didn't have the opportunity to be in the workforce and take care of themselves. So they needed a man to marry them, to take them outside of their father's home, right? I think the early end of baby boomers, it wasn't always about love. It was about what made sense, right?
Right.
You know, And
a shotgun wedding, you know,
right. And so like maybe later baby boomers, it was about the whole, oh, this is love. Let's create something together. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you know, and I think it is something, you know, to think about if it's an outdated concept. I have mm-hmm. an interesting view. Like, I don't want to get married, even though I have evidence that marriage works. You know, mm-hmm. my parents mm-hmm. are still married almost mm-hmm. 41 years. They've been together mm-hmm. for like maybe 45 years.
And that's awesome.
They seem happy. But I know for me, and what the data shows, I don't think it's a wise decision to get married.
I don't want to give half of my shit away.
You know,
I look at, you know, when gay marriage was all being discussed several years ago, and one thing that a lot of the politicians were bringing up, especially the ones that were Republican, were saying that, you know, this the marriage is the sanctity of marriage. You know, it's a sanctity. It's a religious sacrament to get married.
Right.
And I'm like, that's some straight up bullshit. When you got a television show on called The Bachelor, where
right.
people are getting married through a game show.
Mm-hmm. and then there's several others now, right? Like The Love is Blind, The Married at First Sight, like all yeah. of these. I think there's another one coming out soon too. But yeah, I would agree with that. And I mean, it's just such a risk. And like we have so much data that shows that marriage in a certain way doesn't work mm-hmm. long term. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, I wonder, you know, in this situation from the outside on paper, it looks like Melinda's going to benefit from this divorce, you know, and so.
Oh, yeah, I see it because her lawyers, she's gotten the same lawyers as Ivana Trump. Ivanka. I thought it was Ivana. That's why I think Ivanka is the daughter, I think.
Yeah.
So she's getting lawyered up. She has three lawyers. She has three top lawyers. And also one of the lawyers that she had represented Marler Maples, you know, which is Donald Trump married Marla after he divorced Ivana Trump.
Oh wow. Okay.
So it would they used the same lawyer.
Wow. I just, you know, I think about women who enter marriages and how much are they risking and how much are they sacrificing. Mm-hmm. But you know, in this divorce, it looks like Melinda's going to benefit. But, you know, especially women, as women become more business owners and things like that, I just, you know, I look to people like Oprah and you know, her and Stedman have something that seems to work.
She's
and
smart.
They don't have, you know, they don't have a marriage license, but they seem good. And I'm like, that's my ideal. I can be in a long-term partnership, but the law and the state does not need to be involved.
Exactly. That's key. The law, the state and the government and all that does not need to be involved. You are exactly right about that.
And I guess I have to say, I have to admit, I have like a different opinion because I don't want to be a mother. I don't want to have children. I don't know what those implications would mean for raising children and you know, if there's any benefits tax wise, you know, for being married.
It is.
But like I don't I'm not interested.
Yeah, it's not worth giving up half of my stuff for a tax incentive. You know, no thank you.
Yeah.
You know, so do you think they have a prenup?
I don't know if they had a prenup. I mean, like I would hope that they did because of where Bill was with Microsoft at the time.
Yeah, well he can't get right because he actually had that kind of money when they got together. So I'm assuming that probably they do, but that's the question that people are asking because they haven't made that public or not, if they do have one or not. So I did want to ask a question to you about before we close this out to get our breakdowns. How do you feel about sleeping in separate beds?
Yeah. That's my ideal. Like, I don't believe in cohabitation.
Yeah, you know, or sharing the same bathrooms. That's
oh, no, I feel like that's the quickest way to get to divorce.
You know? Yeah, like certain things I don't want you to know about me.
Well, it's not even about that. It's about like, for me, I'm intense. I do everything fiercely. So if I love someone and we're going to be in a relationship, I'm going to love you fiercely. For that relationship to survive, we're going to need our space. Yeah. And I need my space. I'm a codependent in recovery. I need my space.
I got to have my little corner to sort of soak in every once in a while.
You know? Right. You know, I think my big pie in the sky ideal would be for me and my partner to have a multi-family unit, maybe 20 units or less. And they have a unit and I have a unit. And we can spend the night at each other's places sometimes, but I want my space.
Right. I think that works. I think in this, we have the capacity to do that now, where we can be in two different, we can sort of cohabitate at different times and also keep our distance when we need to as well.
Yeah.
I think that's wise. Yeah. So for my breakdown, these are rich people's problems, really. What triggered me about the story was about the amount of money that's being talked about, and of course, when you're dealing with that kind of money, it's very interesting to see rich people have problems and how they're going to sort of sift through it. So I'll be paying attention to this story because I want to see how much money does she get, Bezos' wife, Mackenzie, got a quarter of his wealth. That's a lot of money. That's something like $65 billion, I think she got. If I'm not mistaken, I think 50 billion. But anyway, it's billions she got. Okay. So I just think that it's just interesting to me about discussing that kind of money.
Yeah.
In terms of dividing it up.
Right. My breakdown is more loosely, it's just got like stream of consciousness. I have a lot of questions and thoughts. Some are, especially with these long-term marriages being dissolved in this high-profile way. And it seems like Bill didn't want the divorce. I don't know if Jeff Bezos wanted the divorce either. And so just wondering, what is it about these billionaires who want to stay in their marriage, but their wives want to divorce them? What's that about? And then for people who've been in a marriage for a very long time and then decide to dissolve it, what's that about?
Right.
Just really curious about those types of things. I just really wish Melinda and Bill the best. Just a couple of years ago on Twitter, Bill's professing his love for her. So to see this, it's really shocking. And I know, regardless of if it's amicable or not, that this is a tough time for both of them. So I just wish them well.
Yeah.
And that's my breakdown.
Yeah, I do too. So with all their billions. So this is our segment, Make You Laugh. And so I saw a story about Shum Puff Daddy Combs. That's what I used to call him back in the day when he was, producing from Mary J. Blige. But he has changed his name yet again.
Oh, really?
Yes.
What is it now?
So it's Shun Love Combs.
Again? I thought he did that one already.
Well, he had put it out there and then he said he didn't. And then, but this lately, what he did was he put an IG post out there and it was of his license and it showed Shun Love Combs. So changed his middle name to Love. So he's went from Puppy to Puff Daddy to P Diddy to Diddy to P. It's just been changing. So I don't know if it's to keep himself current or keep people talking or whatever. Probably definitely so. But God bless the brother. It just seems like it's always every week. I think we discussed him last week, I believe.
He was in the news,
about Black Rob. Mm-hmm. So this week he's changing his name. And I don't think this will be the last time that Puff Daddy changed his name or Diddy changed a love to change.
I don't know. We say that God is love and love is constant. God is constant. So.
Well, maybe he's intact. Maybe he's in tune with that because, he's love now. Shun Love Combs.
Okay. No. All right.
Right.
I wonder if is he still making music?
It's been a few years since he put out a album. And they didn't last album he did with Dirty Money didn't do too well as I mean, I thought it was a hot album, but I think it didn't do as well as they intended it to do. And then after that, I haven't heard anything else from him since then.
Well, maybe he will be inspired by his name change and we'll hear some,
Yeah.
maybe we can get like a love album or something. They're called love
Yes.
songs.
Something, you know, bring back, you know, the Benjamins, you know, that song. That was when he was at
At his
his
peak,
peak,
yeah.
right?
What was he called then? He was Puff Daddy then, right?
He was Puff Daddy then.
Okay.
Yeah, Puff Daddy and the family. You
Right.
know? Yeah.
Let's move into our next topic, and I wanted to discuss a documentary that's on Netflix that my father actually recommended that we discuss called Coded Bias. And it's a documentary, and the main narrator is an MIT lab media lab researcher, Joy Boulamwini. I believe that's how you pronounce her name. And she's looking at how much artificial intelligence programs are trained to identify patterns based on data sets that skew light-skinned and male. So she was doing these experiments using facial recognition software and recognized that it wasn't recognizing her face unless she put on a white mask. And so the documentary really explains and explores how machine learning algorithms, which are now ubiquitous in advertising, hiring, financial services, policing, and other fields, can perpetuate society's existing race, class, and gender-based inequities. And I thought that was really, really interesting because, you know, we're seeing facial recognition software everywhere, and it makes sense that the creators of it will embed their own bias in the software. But the thing that's really scary about it is that right now there's no regulations. And so this software is sort of just out there in the world, and certain authorities are using it without these regulations, right? And so, you know, I first started questioning like the algorithms around facial recognition software when on the iPhone, for those who don't have an iPhone, they have this thing now in your photos that you can have albums based on the people's faces. So it like recognizes the people's faces
I love that software
and
though.
you can match it to like your contacts. But I recognize it was doing such a poor job of recognizing the black faces in my photos. Like my white friends, it would always match them correctly. Like it always knew that, well, this is my white friend, but it would always mix up the black people. Like this is not that person. So I was like, how accurate are these? So I didn't know the documentary was around then, but yeah.
Well, I like the my phone does the same thing. I have a but I have an Android. But my phone does a pretty good job with that. But there has been times when I will do face recognition and open up maybe an account and it doesn't recognize my face, especially if I have glasses on. But from my perspective, I think that many black people are already kind of skeptical of the American system, and they would prefer to remain under the radar and would b rather go unrecognized. So I can see how they would say, "Well, good if you don't recognize me."
Yeah, I mean, like in the documentary, they talk about, I mean, one of the things that gets Joy to Capitol Hill is where were they? Were they in New York? That project? I feel like, I don't know.
Well,
Yeah, they were, I think they were in New York. They were in like Harlem, right? Or something like that.
yeah, okay. I think I saw New York at one stage, and then they were in London at one stage, and
Yeah,
then
no, but there was a specific point. I think that they were in New York and they were at this apartment building that wanted
oh,
to use the
yeah.
facial recognition
Exactly,
software
to get
as their
in.
like lock system.
Was
And
there
it
a
was pretty much
project?
surveillance. Yeah, I want to say it was projects. Or maybe it was just an apartment building. Anyways, it was there was an apartment building that was predominantly black, and the property managers wanted to install a facial recognition software as the security system, and the residents were not having it
No.
because it's pretty much surveillance,
Right.
you
And
know?
how they were describing it was it could possibly get me evicted.
Right, right. Because they're using it just like in 1984, the book, as Big Brother, to mm-hmm. keep people in check and keep people in line. And mm-hmm. I remember, we didn't mark this down as a point to talk about, but another part of the documentary talks about how in China, they're doing this. And there's another Black Mirror episode. I think I mentioned Black Mirror in another when we were talking about Amazon, the Metalhead mm-hmm. episode, there's okay. another one. There's an episode called Nosedive, which pretty much explores what's going on in China now, where they're doing the facial recognition software, but also this like social score. Like, you know, we have a credit score, right?
Right.
To determine how good our credit is, to determine mm-hmm. how often we're paying our bills, yeah. how long we've had a credit history, mm-hmm. so that people can trust that when they loan us money, that we're going to pay them back, right?
Your credit worthiness, they say.
Your credit right. worthiness, right? So in China right now, they're exploring this program, or they're I don't know if they're exploring it as much as they're using it, where you have like a social score. So mm-hmm. linked to your face is also this social credit that sort of, I don't know, I'm not sure what they're using it against, but like perhaps like if you have any arrests, mm-hmm. you have any bankruptcies, if you've gone against or spoken out against communism or anything like that, that's going to impact your social score. Mm-hmm. And your face is how it's tied to you. So like you'll go into a place and they'll scan your face and your social score shows up as well to determine how much people should trust you, how worthy you are to be trusted. Mm-hmm.
Well, one of the things that the documentary did say is that the difference between that technology being over there in China and being here in the United States is that China is very transparent about this.
Absolutely.
Where these tactics are in surveillance, really, in the United States, they really do not make themselves known, or they don't really tell us about this this surveillance that they're doing. Basically, they're not transparent here.
Absolutely. It reminded me exactly of, I remember being in college when the Patriot Act was signed in, you know, during the Bush years, the second mm-hmm. Bush years, after 9/11, and how like all of this surveillance was happening or permitted without our consent and without our knowledge.
Right.
So ever since then, you know, COINTELPRO, we know that surveillance happens in this country, mm-hmm. especially with Black people. But so yeah, I definitely, I'm appreciative of all of the points the documentary brings up. I think they uh-huh. do a really great job of explaining it. And I think that these corporations who are using this technology and aren't acknowledging the bias that's in the technology, they need to have some sort of regulation around it. And it needs, and everyone needs to be aware of it, because, you know, we're at this point now where it's not our money that's that's valuable. It's our identity. That's what's right. valuable. My face, mm-hmm. my habits. This is what mm-hmm. these are what these corporations are using to exploit me. You know, it's ridiculous. I saw, it's even as simple as this. On Instagram this week, I saw a post from some nail polish that I just thought was beautiful. And I shared it in my stories. I cannot tell you on how many apps I was advertised this nail
wow.
polish.
Yeah.
And I succumbed to it. I did. I bought the nail polish.
Bought it.
I did.
Yeah.
It works.
I did
it. It does. It works. Like, they wore me down. It was such mm-hmm. a beautiful color, though. Like, I don't regret mm-hmm. it, but I'm saying, yeah. you know, we're being yeah. pimped out.
We've been, Google has pimped us out. Okay. Yeah. You know, I think Google knows more about us than probably your spouse or your significant other knows more.
It knows even more than you know about yourself, right? Because they're always listening. They're always watching.
So my question is, instead of the documentary, there was a part where they had actually ID'd a 14-year-old African, well, he was actually in London, so he was Black English. Mm-hmm. And they falsely identified him for somebody else, and they scared the hell out of this little 14-year-old boy, and people ran over to sort of help because they knew that it was not right.
Right.
You know, and that's when my opinion changed about Black people being under the radar, that if you can't recognize my face and you're doing it incorrectly, this technology is not even ready for prime time yet.
Absolutely. You know? Absolutely. And this is that's the whole point, I think, of the documentary, like recognizing that, one, if humans are the ones creating this technology, then it's going to be inherently flawed because we as humans are flawed.
Are flawed, right?
And then if white men are generally the ones that are creating the software, they're the ones that are going to benefit from it. And then the converse of that is that people of color are going to be harmed by it.
Right.
Because the biases that white, the unconscious bias is going to be played out in this technology.
Right, because what we're discovering is that when a person is racist, bigoted, or whatever, and they create algorithms or programs, those preferences, concepts, ideologies get also put into those suggestions, get put into those programs coding as well. It's a, you know, I don't know if you want to get woo-woo or not, but... but you know, it's all consciousness. So our consciousness gets fed into whatever we create. And that's one of the interesting things that I think we're going to start really looking into about how our preferences and our idiosyncrasies and our thoughts are actually having an effect on the things around us that are inanimate.
Absolutely. And you know, it's really scary, I think, when we think about that, like that whole consciousness is what we are and how we're integrating our consciousness into technology and how, you know, like, I think it's Elon Musk who's like doing all of this technology on, you know, creating this mesh that like that interacts with the brain in some type of way to sort of to make like a conscious AI or something like that. Like those are things that I think we're not ready for yet. We haven't even mastered our own human consciousness in a way to then turn it over to these algorithms that are learning on their own. Like that's just too much. It's too much.
Yeah, it's too much because like I was saying in an earlier episode that it's interesting that nature has been giving us the ability to create such advanced technology without having the consciousness evolve along with the technology.
Absolutely. Like when we're talking about deepfakes. Yes. Yes. Right. We're not ready for this.
No, we're not. But the other thing that I wanted to discuss before we close out was, I guess this would be my breakdown, but in terms of creating regulations around the facial recognition technology and creating federal regulation, this is what Joy was trying to, when she went to Capitol Hill to talk to the House representatives about this, to create federal regulations around this software. The thing that I found disconcerting about that was, do we, you know, the many laws that we've created and how the federal government has jacked up a lot of things in the past, and I felt like by them getting involved in this facial, depending on them to fix this or get it to sort of work right, are they going to be an impediment instead of a tool to help us, especially, you know, Black Americans, because they haven't, you know, their platform have not helped us hardly at all.
Right.
So that's the thing that I feared, you know. So in terms of getting federal regulations involved, maybe they have a great idea when implementing those ideas, sometimes I think it just goes haywire.
You know, I agree with you that there's reason to be skeptical of what can actually be done. Like how can they actually intervene? But I do think it's important to put it on the record because like I said earlier, this software and these algorithms are being used in every aspect of our lives right now, right? So like you can't apply for a job, you can't apply for housing in a certain way without some of it, without interfacing with some of these algorithms. And so if there's not any type of awareness or some type of discretion or something around how they're used, all of the work of the civil rights movement could be erased. Right. So I think while it's understandable to lack faith that the federal government's going to do anything with it, I think at least as citizens, and you know, we need to be aware, and you know, we can hold corporations accountable. If the federal government is going to do that, then I believe that we have the power to do that, and that will be my breakdown as well.
Yeah, we have the power.
Fight the power with your face.
the power. Yeah. That's perfect.
Okay. All right. For this week's Inspire segment, I wanted us to linger a little bit longer in the Mother's Day spirit and also go back to talking about the Red Table Talk. We talked about them last week. If you didn't listen to that episode, please go back and listen to episode 11 of Breaking It Down with DJ and Courtney. But anyways, I told DJ I wasn't going to share this story unless I was actually moved. But Willow Smith, Jada and Will's daughter, surprised Jada last week with a reunion of her band, Wicked Wisdom. And she performed one of Jada's favorite songs. So Jada Pinkett formed a band called Wicked Wisdom. It was a new metal band in 2002.
Yeah, I remember that.
They had a really great song called Bleed All Over Me. And Willow, you know, she's a really great musician. I'm actually a fan, you know. Mm-hmm. Back in the day, she had her single, Whip My Hair, Back, my and hair back and Forth. I whip my hair back and forth. My hair back and forth, right? And then last weekend, after we, you know, did the episode, I was looking and I saw that she has a new metal song called Transparency. And it is fire. Like,
oh, wow.
She's just a really great musician. And I have to say, mm-hmm. I actually prefer her version of Bleed All Over Me to Jada's. Not to say that Jada's is bad. Jada's is good. You know, I liked Wicked Wisdom, but I was really, really impressed. And I thought it was just so beautiful to see, you know, a daughter who's obviously inspired by her mother.
Yeah, that's cute.
And I think Willow is a really great example of a mother's love, because mm-hmm. I think Jada has been very transparent about the way that she's parented Willow,
right,
which requires a lot of authentic love, of like getting mm-hmm. out of the way and loving someone to be their whole self mm-hmm. and courageous. And then for then Jada to return the favor by like singing something that her mother created as an offering of love. I thought that was just beautiful. Right. So we'll link the video in the show notes if you haven't seen it so that you can see it, because I think it's beautiful. And just to all of the mothers out there, I remember years ago, I got this plaque for my mother when Maya Angelou was doing her, Dr. Maya Angelou was doing her Hallmark gifts. And it was just this beautiful plaque that says, a mother's love liberates. And wow. So I know that the love from my mother liberates me. And I just wanted to continue to celebrate all of the mothers out there.
Yeah. Love you, Mom.
Yeah. And then for those people who, you know, have difficult relationships with their mothers, or their mothers have transitioned, we hope that this time is a time that you can reflect just on the fact that us being here is because of our mothers, despite mm-hmm. where they are in our lives now mm-hmm. or where they are. Know that somehow, somewhere that our mothers love us the best way that they know how. Mm-hmm. And that if they are not in this plane, that their love lives within us.
Yes. Or even your surrogate mother, you know, because mm-hmm. I believe God always brings someone in our life to mother us, even if it's not the individual that birthed us.
Correct.
So send that love to that individual who has been that surrogate mother for you too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, DJ, that makes another episode.
Yes, another in the hopper. Mm-hmm. Ow.
Well, you know, I think people, I don't know about you, but I've been getting text messages that people are listening and they're enjoying the conversation. So even if they aren't interacting on social, you know, we know that you're out there, and we thank you so much for listening.
Yes.
And if you like the episode, if you don't want to comment on social media, we'd really appreciate if you just share our teasers, send it to someone that you think might be interested in the topics we discuss. And mm-hmm. if you have topics like my father did, you can let us know.
Yeah. You know, I've been getting text messages too from friends saying that, you know, they think this show is entertaining and they really enjoy the topics that we cover. But like you said, like Courtney just said, if you have a topic that you're interested in, you can always email us at breakingitdownshow@gmail.com. That's breakingitdownshow@gmail.com with any ideas.
Yeah. Oh, and we are on Instagram at Breaking It Down Show, and we are on Facebook at Breaking It Down Podcast.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We will see you next
week.
All right. Bye. Take care.
Breaking It Down with DJ and Courtney is edited and produced by Designs by Courtney H. Music produced by Courtney Hinton. Thank you for listening.
Please subscribe to this podcast on your favorite podcast platform and leave us a review.